So in this video, I want to teach you the third launch exercise, which is a powerful exercise called Two Birds. And the image of the two birds is one of the most fundamental images of the Preside meditation system. So you'll get it as a launch exercise at first, so it's very practical, but it will also be a big influence on your training in theory and principles. And will also be a powerful tool as a drift exercise. And then finally, will be a very powerful integration exercise as well to help you integrate the power of the meditative state into your regular everyday life, even when you are not meditating. So the two birds image comes from India, and it comes from the Vedas, which is the scripture of Indian Hinduism. But the image itself is not religious. It's just an amazing visualization for you to use. And a bit of background here is that about 80% of the Vedas is basically scripture on, you know, how to be a good Hindu. The rites, the rituals, the holidays, how you marry, and all these different things. And then typically the last portion of the Vedas are a set of documents called the Upanishads. And the Upanishads are really a manual for, you know, that last part of your life as a Hindu, when you have discharged all your family responsibilities, you've contributed whatever you're going to contribute to society, and now you're just going to, you know, quote unquote, wander off into the forest and be alone and attempt to realize the true nature of reality and to attain enlightenment. So the word Upanishad actually generally translates into sit up in close to, Upanishad, which alludes to the fact that this part of the scripture was historically conveyed orally from teacher to student, and they would be sitting close together, and the teacher would basically just transmit all of this verbally. And I know all that sounds really exotic and, you know, maybe a little strange and unfamiliar, but, you know, to give you a bit of perspective here, the Upanishads have been well known and thoroughly studied by Western philosophers for pretty much, you know, the last couple to 300 years. So Emerson, Thoreau, Kant, Schopenhauer, Edwin Schrödinger, the great physicist, and also Robert Oppenheimer. All of these Western philosophers and scientists studied and commented on the Upanishads as a very powerful and immensely detailed account of the nature of true reality. And the core technique and exercise for this launch exercise comes from an amazing bit of imagery that comes up again and again in different parts of the Upanishads, kind of like a recurring theme. And I personally, over 25 years, found this theme to be incredibly powerful for me and my own practice. And for me, it just touches the jugular of what is really happening in meditation when you're really able to dive in deeper. And again, it shows up in multiple points in the Upanishads, but I'll just give you my own quote and paraphrase the image. Two birds, fast friends, inseparable, sitting on the self-same tree. The first bird eats from the fruit of the tree of life. Here a sweet fruit, there a sour fruit. And the second bird watches. That's it. So the first bird, obviously, is your regular practical self. But the point here is that the second bird is also fully you, just as much as the first bird is, equally. And what this means is that you are also the watcher for everything that happens in your reality and in your life. And in fact, ideally, the two birds should be equally weighted 50-50 because they're really just two sides of the same coin of you and who you really are. But in reality, you spend about 99.9% of your time and attention in the seat of the first bird. And you basically spend 0% of your time in the seat of the second bird, even though it's always there. So remember back when I said that you had a monkey mind and a kind of, you know, non-monkey mind, or I called it the non-thinking mind. And I talked about, you know, working out the muscle, the meditation muscle of your non-thinking mind. Well, here it is again in this two birds imagery. The first bird is essentially your monkey mind. And the non-monkey mind, the non-thinking mind we talked about earlier, well, that is the second bird. And all it does is watch. It doesn't do anything else. Right, so in that visualization, that is the act of meditation. When you meditate, basically all you're doing is you are shifting your attention, or it's like you're shifting your center of gravity from the seat of the first bird over to the seat of the second bird. And it's still you, right? And it's always there anyway, just like a heartbeat. And the only issue is that you, as a member of modern society, you never go there, right? All of your education, your work, your job, your family, your friends, you know, everything you experience in practical everyday life is firmly within the jurisdiction of the first bird. Because that's the bird that discerns. That's the bird that says, I like this and I don't like that. This is a sweet fruit. This is a sour fruit. This is good. This is bad. This is profitable or unprofitable. And with the second bird, it is also just as validly you. It is just as equally your home as well. So let's get into this just a little bit deeper. So the most common questions I get about the first bird are, and I'll just go through a few of them. The first is, you know, so is the first bird my monkey mind? And essentially, yes, you can say the first bird is basically your monkey mind. It is the thing that goes, I like this, I don't like that. I want this, I want that. Here's how I get ahead, and here's how, you know, I stay away from things I don't like or fear. It's the thing in you that judges and discerns, analyzes, and acts. Common question I get about the second bird is, okay, so it watches. Does it eat the fruit? And the answer is no, it just watches. Okay, does it judge what the first bird is doing? And the answer again is no, it just watches. Does it confer with the first bird? Does it give it advice or tell it, hey, look out for this or look out for that? Does it coach the first bird? And the answer is no, it just watches. It actually has no opinion about anything. Just like when I was telling you to not criticize the quality of your meditation, and I said I was not forcing your attitude to be positive, it's actually that you have no attitude at all. So that is exactly what the second bird is like. And technically, the second bird also has no memory. As I think an old Zen or Taoist saying once said, you know, it is like a mirror. It receives but does not keep. It just takes in, reflects everything, but it doesn't actually hang on to anything. Now, another common question I get about the second bird is, well, is the second bird actually a symbol for the higher self? And I would say, for our purposes now, no. Just treat it as an equal to the first bird. It's just two sides of the same coin. And really what I would regard it as, I would regard it not as being higher or lower than the first bird. I would regard it mainly as being an undiscovered part of yourself, completely undiscovered territory that has always been there. And just up until now, you have never received any form of training that allowed you to even turn your attention to it, let alone be aware of it or understand it at any kind of depth. So another question is, well, okay, you know, why am I even going over to the second bird, right? I've done fine all my life without the second bird. Why should I bother with it now? Well, the answer to that is when you shift over to the second bird, that is the act of meditation. When you shift your gravity over to the second bird and are able to preside there for an extended period of time, it's exactly then that's when you'll be able to hit the ocean of bliss. And if you preside there for even longer, you will be able to get to the phase of awareness that is actually even beyond the ocean of bliss. We'll get to that in a future video. So the final way to think about the two birds is that actually it's kind of like you have two homes, right? And they're both your primary homes. But the problem is you end up spending all of your time in the first home. And that's fine. That's your choice, right? They're your homes. You do whatever you want with them. But the thing is, anytime you want, there is the second home. And you can go to it anytime. You have it, and you typically never do go to it. But now that you've learned this technique, you can slip over to the home of the second bird anytime you want, right? Because it is your home. And because it is your home, you don't need to explain yourself to anybody, right? You don't need an excuse to go to your second home. If you feel like going, you just go. It's nobody's business but your own. And meditation is just like that. You don't need an excuse to meditate. I'm just going off to meditate, and no one will question you. So with that, what I'd like you to do is to go ahead and click on the actual launch exercise itself and go ahead and do and try out the two birds launch exercise. So we'll do it together. And then after that, I'd like you to come back here and we can do a debrief. And you can come back, you know, after a few nights. You can do the two birds exercise and come back immediately, or do it for a few nights or a week and then come back for the debrief after that. All right. Thank you so much, and I will see you soon.